red light's on. He's wanting us to start. So I guess I'm going to get things started here. This is day two with Julie. We thought we lost a recording, and David texted Julie, and she was able to come back. And then Keith found it. His instructions wasn't very good yesterday on the message that he left. So we just mashed the button, and it started working. So anyway.
I didn't think to tell you to check the date.
You need to turn your mic up. You might want to flag that.
It is good to have Keith back in the studio today.
Amen, brother.
No phone ringing.
That's yeah. Right. I'm glad to be in here today.
That phone.
Keith, I wish you could have seen them rolling their eyes yesterday. When the phone started ringing.
I mean, everybody jumped.
Wasn't expecting that ring because it sounded like Grandma's phone ringing at the time.
David
thought Grandma was on the line.
We're in trouble.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try
something wrong.
I'm going to try to start us off with a conversation here. But this verse came up last night or early this morning when I got up on the Bible app. 2 Corinthians 9:6-7. It says, remember, a stingy planter gets a stingy crop. A lavish planter gets a lavish crop. I want each of you to take plenty of time to think it over and make up your own mind what you will give. That will protect you against sob stories and arm twisting. God loves it when the giver delights in the giving. So that verse, when I first heard or read it, was Grandpa and David. Grandpa planting his garden and inviting people to come get whatever they wanted out of it. And now David does the same thing. We see Jackson and Laney up there trying to sell the fruits and vegetables. But that's not the lesson that David's trying to teach of making money.
Mm-hmm.
It's, well, to pay, I imagine it's to pay for the seeds. But he's not trying to make money on the produce to get rich. Maybe just to cover his cost. You want to touch on that, David?
Well, first, my first thoughts when you was reading the scripture, it goes back to something that Grandpa told me a long time ago. He said, if you're going to take the time to plant a seed, then you better fertilize it. And I think that carries over to a lot of different things. When you start a project, be prepared to finish it. Right. When we plant gardens, we sow the seeds, fertilize it, we till the soil, we have to water it. And that's just like anything else in our life. When we're talking to other people and we plant those seeds with them, we have to be ready to help them. We have to be ready to fertilize it a little bit, water it a little bit. Spend time with them because we're responsible for that seed that was sowed. All right, when I plant a garden, there's also another thing that I kind of added to it is I plant twice as much as I think I need by design. That way, if it only makes half, I'll have enough. Okay. Plus, if it all makes, I'll have plenty to give away. I may not ever have money that I can share with other people, but if I have squash and zucchini and tomatoes and cucumbers,
taters,
and I love giving it away, and Grandpa did too. He loved being able to bless people like that.
Well, it opened the door to have conversations with them.
Right.
It does. And not very many people send you away when you're bringing groceries.
That's right.
That's right.
And, you know, especially this day and age, that's true, with the cost of everything going up, 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 up.
Right.
When you show up at someone's door with fresh vegetables, they're probably not going to tell you to get out.
That's right. You know? It does. And Julie, I'm sure you remember sitting on the back of the three-wheeler whenever we would peel those onions,
mm-hmm.
and we sold them for a quarter a piece. We'd make $3 or $5 in a day, but we would do that. And I think that was your daddy and our grandpa teaching us, well, how to talk to people. Mm-hmm. Okay. We learned about money.
Mm-hmm.
We learned how to carry on a conversation. A lot of things that it's carried us through life.
We learned about commerce. We learned about people mm-hmm. skills. We learned how to take care of the details. I remember pulling up onions, washing them off. They had to be pristine. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Like peel that top, layer of skin off.
I can still see them, this pearl white.
And the rubber band them together mm-hmm. and cut the onion tops where they were all perfectly the same.
Not a spot on them.
Not a spot.
Mm-mm.
And that was a passion of my daddy's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
He loved growing produce and sharing it with his family, sharing it with neighbors, sharing it with friends. When I look at the field between my mama's house and the highway now, and I think about all the rows of tomatoes that were out there, mm-hmm. those are some long rows.
Mm-hmm.
Who has tomato rows that long just for their family? You know what I'm saying?
And do you remember that whole field was onions?
Was onions, yes.
That whole field was onions.
I also remember digging potatoes out there
mm-hmm.
and having loads and loads of potatoes that we would store
year-round
in the fruit house and have fresh potatoes. Anyway, wow, what a tremendous blessing.
Mm-hmm.
Blessings we experienced in childhood.
You asked me about planting a garden, so I'm going to tell you, that's one of the hardest times for me. I know that we all have hard times. I'm always excited and ready to bust the dirt in the spring. There's something about that. Say it's magical, not really magical, but to me it's pretty sentimental. But it's also hard because I hear Grandpa every time I go to the farm. I hear him talking, and I hear Uncle Terry, and I can still see them. They're with me sometimes. I love that because I love seeing them and I love to hear their voice, but it is hard. It does take my breath sometimes. I try hard not to let that show, but sometimes it does, and sometimes I get in a bad mood, I guess, or I just get quiet, right? And I hope Jackson, my son, I hope he never sees that part of it, because I hope that him and his son or his grandchildren can do the same thing. And there's a lot of things about our farm that we've touched on. The part of the farm where we plant our garden, that was our grandpa Robertson's farm. So that's been going on for a long time. The fields where we picked tobacco, that was our great-grandpa Bowen's. So we're talking two sides of our family land in this. It's multi-generational, two different sides.
I was going to ask you, and you may have covered this prior to now, but for anyone that may not know, have you told who our Grandpa Robertson was?
I'll be glad to
explain. So the grandparents that we share were Alame Jacobs
mm-hmm.
and Jackson Thomas Bowen. And Jackson Thomas Bowen's parents were Thomas Malachi Bowen and Etta Robertson. And Etta Robertson's father was our Grandpa Bowen. Robertson. Right. Sorry. I got it all right to the end.
Our great-grandpa Robertson.
Our great-great-grandpa Robertson. That's right. Thank you, Keith. So both our Grandpa Bowen's mother's family's land and father's family's land all comprise this farm that we grew up on.
Right, and let's blow people's mind that's listening right now.
Oh, Lord.
We brought up loosely some of our cousins. You brought up Debbie Bowen.
Yes.
All right. I think we need to go ahead and say that she was in one of our double cousins.
Yes. Right?
And that would probably, so there's going to be a lot of people that's going to look at us a little funny after this.
But. It's okay. So Debbie Bowen Lessard, her father is Jimmy Bowen,
mm-hmm.
and Jimmy was one of several children of Walter Bowen
mm-hmm.
and Thelma Jacobs Bowen.
That's right.
Did you hear that, Jacobs?
I was paying attention.
Yeah. So Uncle Walt
mm-hmm.
was our Grandpa Jack's brother.
Older brother.
Aunt Thelma was our Grandma Alame's
sister.
One of her older sisters.
Mm-hmm.
So two brothers married two sisters.
Mm-hmm.
But then
mm-hmm.
their oldest sister, Aunt Iris, married one of their cousins,
mm-hmm.
Uncle Madison Bowen.
Madison.
So we have cousins that when you go to the Bowen reunion, they're there. When mm-hmm. you go to the Jacobs reunion,
mm-hmm.
they're there because right. they all are, yeah,
Bowens. We're all and double Jacobs. Cousins.
Yeah. Or triple.
Yeah. And yeah. growing up, I can remember people asking us, are they your first cousin or are they your second cousin? I guess that makes sense because Mama used to say, they're just your cousin.
Just,
yeah. She instead of trying to walk us through that, something we'd never understand, they would just say, it's our cousin. So that's, we either called people our cousin or our aunt and uncle. That's the way it worked.
Yeah.
I saw Uncle Cousin Buddy Bowen in the grocery store yesterday. He looked good.
Yeah.
Good.
Always happy.
That is great. All right, I have something to add. When you were talking about the Bible verse that you brought up, and David's talking about gardening, you know, we all grew up planting and harvesting, tending. You know, planting was preparing the land, planting, irrigating, fertilizing, tending, hoeing. Yes, hoeing, and pulling weeds, and then harvesting and enjoying. And that was, we learned so much through that. But then we go through seasons of life, and I remember as my children came along, and yesterday you made me name all of my children, tell who they were. So I don't really remember if this was after Ella was born or after Elizabeth was born, but either way, my hands were full, and Chip was busy working, and we didn't have a garden, but we had a yard, and I had had flowers, but you could tell they had not been tended to, like I had grown up knowing how to tend things. And I remember my daddy showing up with the lawnmower and the weed eater and, you know, everything to make things look super. And I walked out my back door with like a baby in each arm. And here he was with the biggest grin on his face, just so thankful to be able to be there and help me in my time of need.
Yep.
And I remember feeling shame in my heart, though. I was grateful he was there, but I was embarrassed that my backyard looked like a jungle. And he looked at me. He turned that throttle down on that lawnmower, and he looked at me, and he said, Julie, you are tending some of the most beautiful flowers you could ever tend to, and don't you forget it.
That's right.
Yeah.
You do what you've been called to do right now. And don't you worry about this.
That's right.
And you know what? when I look out my yard and there's still pine cones laid on the ground and the grass still needs mowing today.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been mowed a few times, you know, in, since then. But I remember all three of my girls are still at home, praise the Lord. And so my job's not done yet.
That's right.
I'm still tending to flowers.
That's right.
Pulling weeds daily.
Yep.
Watering.
Watering daily. Mm-hmm. And I thank God for that, y'all.
That's right. Yep.
I thank God that I still have that opportunity and that chance to feed into their lives. It's a little more difficult because now, you know, it'd be a little weird if I popped them on the behind. And, well, maybe not. But anyway, maybe Ella will come on sometime and tell you about how she had to put on a little extra makeup before she graduated because we had a little slight altercation that day. So, but anyway.
I'm sure it wasn't near as bad as what you just made it sound like. Just screw with me.
Call her. Yeah, call her on the phone. Let's see. Yeah.
Anyway, it's okay. She knows why she got in trouble. And her boyfriend was sitting at the table, too, and so he saw it, too. And that's always good. They always need to see that I'm far crazier than you will ever think about
being. There you go.
That's the secret to raising girls.
Mm.
So, anyway.
I like the way we brought up hoeing a while ago.
Yes.
And I'm going to tell y'all a little story. This is not the one Michael's thinking about, but it's kind of like it. One day, I got asked to go speak to a high school, or it's a middle school FFA class. So I went, and I did my best agriculture presentation, right? And I said, ho, in my talk. And I noticed that the little children.
Yes.
Middle school children, they all looked around when I said, ho. And I said, well, they don't know what a hoe is. And I said, do y'all know what a hoe is? And I kid you not, I kid you not, a little girl on the first row, she turned around and looked at her buddy, and she said, I know what a hoe is.
Oh, my Lord, David.
And I said, absolutely not what I'm talking about.
No.
That didn't even cross my mind, right?
Right.
And that was in a South Georgia community. It's not like
kids. Oh, that just shows that you're not in education every day, because that was the first thing I thought of.
That's
I'm
right.
Sorry.
Right. That's the thing. That's the world we're in today. It's different. You know, growing up, we knew what a hoe was. Not we didn't know what that other hoe was. Right.
That's right.
But we're still teaching Julie how to adjust her mic and
I'm
everything.
I'm so sorry.
Y'all bear with us.
Sorry, between the sniffing and the adjusting the microphone.
I thought we started the gong show.
I'm so sorry.
But so I had a question that I wanted to ask Julie. And, you know, I had several yesterday, but I didn't get around to asking them. But I'm going to ask this of both David and Julie. You remember seeing Grandpa mad, and I mean.
I told a story yesterday about Grandpa slamming the door.
Yeah, but. That wasn't a story about Grandma and Grandpa. But
Yeah. Do Grandpa I remember upset. Seeing Grandpa?
Did you upset him?
I don't ever remember upsetting Grandpa.
And I don't remember Julie ever upsetting Grandpa either.
I remember.
Oh, she was panning all the time.
Well, she was a panner on the tobacco picker. We have discussed that. That was what the females would graduate to, from following to picking to panning. That was, you were a senior in the class, I guess, and you were a girl, and you were panning on in our crew. That's why our
Julie
crew.
Was actually driving too. So she was in charge on top.
You know,
and I was not in charge.
Yes, ever. You were. There were times.
Well, I never thought that I was in charge.
You were. But at the end,
you were.
Whenever we got close to the end, there was a. I'd say our last year of picking, And Grandpa, it's because your daddy had went to the Logan Woods.
Yes.
Okay. Me and you are 15, somewhere around 15 yes. years of age at that. So you were, Michael too, in the field, and I was driving the truck back and forth. And so, you know, that, I know this.
I felt like we had responsibility.
We did.
But I never remember feeling like I had any authority.
You know you did. You used to get on the Wendy and Justin. You would chew them out.
You're putting it up backwards.
But you were trained. You were trained. You were taught. You were doing what you were taught. I remember your daddy, and they call it what, voice inflection. When your daddy was the best in the world, he could make you feel this big, or he could make you feel like a giant. And the way his tone of his voice was, he could get you, he knew how to get any of us's attention.
Oh, yeah.
If you heard that crack in his voice, yeah, you started looking around for anybody but you at that point.
Yeah,
I can remember that.
He never, you know, I say that. I was in, yes, I fear the Lord, right? I feared my Uncle Terry and my grandpa. I hear Chris Dixon, our cousin, talk about getting in trouble and being, you know, him making Grandpa angry with him and punishing him. But I told Chris one time, I said, I never wanted to push Grandpa's buttons. You know, I don't know what it would have done to me to know that I upset Grandpa. That was like one of my biggest fears, is I never wanted to upset him or Grandma. I don't know. Like I said before, I would push Lanny's buttons. I guess that's what fathers and sons do. But as far as Grandpa, I never made him mad that I know of. I might have made him disappointed. I might not have done what he wanted me to do as fast as he wanted me to do it, but I don't ever remember him being mad at us. I can remember him being upset. I can remember, and I think this might be part of it, part of why I didn't, is when he was upset, he was the type that couldn't fake it, right? He couldn't hide that. Whenever his heart was broken, everybody around him could feel it.
Mm-hmm.
One of our older cousins, Ken,
mm-hmm.
right? Love Ken. This is going to be one of them tissue moments, I guess. Ken lived with Grandma and Grandpa.
Most of his life. Childhood.
Most of his life, even into adulthood, Ken was there. And, you know, when we were third grade, Ken's high school age, so that's the age difference there. Well, I can remember when Ken was out of high school at this time. But do you remember the day that we're in the tobacco field? And I don't even remember how the word got out, but I can remember finding out that Ken had upset Grandpa. And I can remember we're picking tobacco, and Grandpa went and got in the truck and left.
Yeah, because Ken had not come home the night before.
Grandpa left the field, and that never happened.
No, that never happened.
He never left the field, but he left the field, right. And he went home. You know, I can just remember the whole mood of the tobacco patch that day. I don't remember talking anymore that day.
It was very somber.
Everybody was like, what happened, right?
Yeah.
What is going on?
Yeah.
And he went and got on a tractor, and he went to another field, and he stayed on it till dark. And I can just remember the look on his face, at how hurt he was. And I can remember as a young kid, I said, I never want to be the cause of that. I don't want him to hurt because of me, something that I did.
Yeah. That was something that was just in, like, I was just born with. Like, I just did not want to disappoint Grandma, Grandpa. I did not want to disappoint my daddy. So I don't, Michael, to answer your question, I don't ever remember Grandpa being super upset with me. I don't remember me and Grandpa ever having any crosswords between us, and we spent a lot of time together.
Well, I know y'all did. Y'all spent a lot more time over here than I did. Y'all lived right here up the road from him, but I do. I remember upsetting him.
You
and
do.
I was on the picker, and I was picking in ahead of him. He was on the seat for some reason.
Grandpa liked to pick on the seat.
But
I think he liked to show us that I can still do this.
There wasn't nothing he couldn't do.
And
he showed us how to do it.
It was like, I can still do this, and I'm better than you.
Yeah.
He could out-rack any of us.
But yeah.
He could out-hang it in the barn. He could do anything.
But I don't remember what the reason was that he got upset, but I remember that was the last time he would ever get upset with me.
What happened, Michael?
I don't remember what it was.
Oh, you're not going to tell us?
No, I really don't know.
What
it was,
he got upset
with
you.
To this day, I can remember looking up at him after what he said to me, and I won't repeat it.
Okay.
But that was the last time. That was it. And I promise you, work ethic come after that.
Yes.
So it had to be me being lazy or something to do with I missed too many leaves or whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, that upset, I mean,
in Pierce County, we have our education system, we have a motto that excellence is the standard. I think Grandpa started that in the tobacco patch. Excellence was the standard, and you were not measuring up.
No, I wasn't at that time.
At that time.
Because he stopped the picker, and we got off.
He stopped the picker.
He said something up there.
Man, there was only a few times that he stayed. Because this picker would break down. So if it was running and he shut it down, somebody was getting in trouble.
And he said, stand up. And I stood up, and I got on the inside row, and he was on the outside road. And he stood up on the outside road.
And did he show you how to do differently?
After words?
Yeah.
He didn't have to.
Okay.
But anyway, it was a learning day that
all
I'll
right.
never forget. I mean, it's scorched
right
into
there.
That brain.
But normally, he didn't have to do that because Aunt Donna was there.
That's right.
I mean, like I said before, when she was in the field, she was the boss. She was the general.
Yeah.
That's where she learned how to be a basketball coach, I feel like. I really do, because, hey, she could motivate you or send you to the house.
That's right.
So,
except going to the house was really not an option.
Well, and going to the house was worse than staying in the field. So,
yes.
I mean, it's...
For sure.
Julie, what's your first memory of the first job you had to do on the farm?
My first job on the farm. It was my first memory of helping my daddy on the farm was right up here. The barn that had the hayloft in it. You know, that was the barn that had the shelter and it was the equipment shelter, and we would park tractors under it and all of that. And he worked on tractors, and he worked on the implements a lot,
right.
You know, and he was working on something behind the tractor. My mom had gone to buy groceries and had left me there with Daddy. And, like, I must have been 2 or 3. I mean, I don't know technically when we start forming memories.
Right.
But I know that I had this green inchworm ridey toy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, I know as a toddler. And why in the world they let me bring it up there, I don't know. Maybe my mama thought it'd keep me busy.
Keep you occupied.
You know?
Yeah.
But I just remember, like, going up and down and up and down on that inchworm. But my daddy would tell me, bring me this. And I would stop and go get it and take it to him. Bring me this. Hey, I need you to hand me this. And I would stop riding my inchworm and bring him what he needed. And then he got the implement hooked to the tractor, got the tractor cranked up. We were so excited. Come on, Julie. And he reached down and grabbed me up on that tractor. And I'm sitting up there on the fender, you know. I'm sure it was the big tractor. Anyway, I'm sitting on the fender. And we back up and crunch. That was the end of the inchworm.
Yeah.
And we backed over the inchworm.
For those of you we got to paint a picture of Uncle Terry. I came in. And I think Evan stated best. He said one day he walked up to Uncle Terry and looked down, and Uncle Terry's chest came up to his knee. And I'm sure he reached over and grabbed Julie by the arm, and just for him, it was easy to lift her right up there on the tractor.
Yeah, he was sitting in the tractor seat, and he just reached down. He probably could have stuck one finger down, and I just grabbed it, and he just lifted me up. Because he was a man of great strength.
Yes, he was.
Great strength. Physically,
spiritually,
emotionally, he was a man of great strength. And when you were talking about Grandpa not being able to fake it or hide his emotions, that was my daddy too.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He would tell you real men do cry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because his eyes filled with tears quite regularly. Sometimes it was tears of joy. Sometimes it's tears of sorrow. Sometimes it was telling a funny story, and you just laugh so hard you cry.
We like to think that we have stress on us today, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes we like to think we're the only ones that's ever had stress. I'm so glad that they let us see that they had stress.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And some of the stress that your daddy and our grandpa, not just your daddy, your mama was there too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know that when you're feeding, when you're responsible for feeding as many mouths as those guys were, man, that's a big stress.
Daily.
You know, man, I can remember a hailstorm coming up when we're in the tobacco patch.
Mm-hmm.
If that hailstorm would have been another 100 yards in one direction, it wipes out our entire crop.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to have that crop to make a banknote.
Right.
It wasn't so that they could go pay bills. They already, those bills needed something else to help pay that. I mean, it was such a struggle at that time in the 80s for all farmers, not just our family.
That's right.
All farmers were going through it.
That's right.
And they're going through it today, too. Yes. That, you know,
it's very, very similar times today for farmers. I mean, you know, when the cost of seed, the cost of fertilizer, the cost of fuel, the cost of everything skyrockets.
And the people that you're trying to feed, half of them are convinced that you're trying to kill them.
Right.
That now everybody's so hypersensitive about everything that's going on in the world, that, you know, I don't know. I'm not going to go into that. I could talk about it for hours, but those guys are trying to feed people that are scared to eat,
right?
And all those guys are trying to do is feed them.
That's right.
They're trying to feed their own kids, clothe their own kids. The stress that your daddy. Yeah, I want to say this. I saw Uncle Terry. We picked tobacco one day. We thought we were bad, right? I mean, we're tough. We picked tobacco. Uncle Terry was logging.
Mm-hmm.
What time did he leave the house, Julie?
Oh, probably four.
4 o'clock in the morning, he left the house. Okay. We picked tobacco that day. So I was tough.
We probably slept 3 more hours than he did that morning.
Your daddy, I was at the water hole that night because I was going to do a little catfishing.
Yeah.
Your daddy pulls up to the... he came in after dark from the woods.
In the summer, means it was like 9 o'clock.
He come by y'all's house for about 5 minutes because he was driving the Datsun B210 at the time. And you could hear it 5 miles away. Mm-hmm. Didn't have a muffler on it.
Right.
So he stops at your house for about 5 minutes. And I'm thinking to myself, Uncle Terry's made it in for today.
Mm-hmm.
5 minutes goes by. He fires that sucker up. He comes down there to the pond. Hey, what you doing? I'm catfishing a little bit. Why don't you help me for a little bit? All right. Hey, I'm good. I can help you. What are we going to do? We're going to pick up these irrigation pipes. And we're going to take them over to Miss King's farm. And we're going to put them back out. Okay. Where's the other 20 people? Because that's usually when we moved irrigation pipes. Most of the time, there was a lot of folks that helped. And the more people helped, the faster it does.
Right.
Yeah, it was me and him. The sun, I will never forget. We moved everything to Miss Kingsfield. We got everything running. We got it going.
That rain bird.
That's right.
Irrigation gun.
That's right.
It's a beautiful sound.
I almost fell asleep.
Yeah.
I was in the cab of the tractor, John Deere tractor at the time, and I'm almost asleep, and that bear of a hand that he's got caught me right above the knee on the thigh. He said, "Hey," and I almost come out the back of the tractor, right? He said, "I got to go to work." And I said, "Uncle Terry, what have we been doing all night?" So we had to get back in whatever it was. We went to that field, and he come back, dropped me off, and he went back to the logging woods.
Yeah.
No sleep. And right. He stayed out in the logging woods till dark the next night.
Right.
There may be things in my life that I'm lacking, but not an example of how to be a daddy or how to work. You know, my daddy, my grandpa, my Uncle Terry, my other uncles, I mean, I could go on and on with the examples of how to be a daddy, a grandpa, and how to work.
Yeah.
I'm not one of those. There may be other people out there that have an excuse. If I mess up, it's all on me, because I had examples. You know, and if there's anything that I would like to say to Jackson or Jackson's children or Laney's children later on, is that, you've got to get up in the morning. You've got to go to work. You've got to give it everything you have. If you don't, it's not worth anything.
Right.
You can't put your name on it.
Well, y'all, I just really feel like the training that I got from both of my parents and still from my mama today is that God created us to work. He created our bodies to move and to work, you know, for as long as we possibly can. And we definitely had examples of that in both of our grandparents. And I just want to challenge anybody who's listening to remember that God created us to work and to move and to make a difference in this world for Him for as long as we're here.
And if you're wondering what I did the next day, I can tell you what I did the next day. I slept.
Because we was picking without Him.
I slept that day.
You wouldn't have known.
That might have been, if we were watering the back, we were probably still in school. You might have slept in class.
No, it was during the summer.
It was during the summer? Okay.
You're right. Most of the watering was right before we got out of school. But that night must have been dry. You know, they don't even irrigate tobacco like they did. That's a miracle of agriculture, that they don't water like we did. We had to set out irrigation pipe while we were transplanting the tobacco. They don't no more. They don't. It's a whole different theory on it.
All right, Michael, you got another question?
Shoot, yeah. I got plenty of questions. I guess in small group, last time you and Chip came for, I guess, Jackson's birthday party, you told us that you had a plan to read the Bible.
Yes.
To go through, and I'm asking, how's it going, and how long has that been?
Thank you so much for asking. That is exciting. So, yes, I'm 48 years old, and I'm not going to say I'm ashamed, but I'm, you know, because there is therefore now no condemnation in Christ Jesus. However,
He will condemn you if needed.
That's right. I have waited until I was 48 years old to read through the Bible in its entirety. And I started January of 2022, so January of this year, January the 1st. And I have made it. Now, I'm a few days ahead on the plan because I try to stay a few days ahead just in case something happens and I get behind a little bit.
All right, David, you try to overachieve?
Nope, not overachieve. I just try. If y'all knew how the percentage of my life that I've spent behind, I'm praising God for the opportunity to get ahead every chance I can. And if I'm going to get ahead at anything, it's going to be reading God's Word.
That's right. Yeah. You pick the right thing to be ahead on.
Yes, exactly. So I'm actually on October the 20th, day 293. And what is today's date? October the 16th?
16th.
So I'm just 4 days ahead. But anyway, I'm following a plan designed by Tara Lee Cobble. And Tara Lee Cobble is the author of The Bible Recap. The Bible Recap, R-E-C-A-P. And that is a podcast that you can find on basically any platform that has podcasts out there. It's on YouTube. It's on Spotify. It's on Apple Podcasts. It's everywhere. But she also started what's called D groups, discipleship groups. But there's a chronological plan for reading the Bible in 1 year, and it just so you read the scripture each day. And then you listen to her kind of summarize what you've read on the Bible recap. And it's where your aha moments come. It's like, oh, I've never thought about it like that. And not only that, but she points out how the Bible, while it is 66 books, you know, written by many different authors, all inspired by the Lord, we know that, but it is, in essence, one meta-narrative. It is from beginning to end, it is one big story of God's people. And it is beautiful when you see it all come together like that. And when you see how God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the three parts of the Trinity, have always existed and are present in every part of the Bible. We think about Jesus being born in a manger, you know, in the New Testament. But Jesus was present in the Old Testament. He was there, you know. And there's so much prophecy pointing towards him and towards his birth. And there's so much symbolism. And Tara Lee Cobble in the Bible Recap does a phenomenal job of helping just the average person who wants to know and understand God's Word, understand it. And so on October the 1st, well, the last day of September, September 30th, I finished the Old Testament. And I need a t-shirt that says, I survived the Old Testament. But October the 1st, I started the New Testament, and it has been like, whoa! I mean, no, we know the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all basically tell the same stories from four different perspectives, but they're so rich. It's like I want to like slow things down, and I will say, even though I'm ahead, there's several chapters that I've listened to multiple times because I'm like, I've always known these stories that, you know, the parables and, you know, stories about Jesus' life and his ministry on earth. But I was like, I never thought about it from that. I just never thought about it like that, you know. And, I mean, you hear people say that God's word is alive, and it can affect, you know, it can have such a great effect on your life if you read it, if you get into it. And that is so true, y'all.
Well, it speaks to us at different levels in our journey and in different seasons.
Right.
It gives us a different perspective ourselves based on where we're at in our faith.
Yes. And I'm just going to say right now, since you asked, you asked me to comment on this, for anyone who may be listening, who may be thinking, I just wish I could hear God speak to me about this situation that I'm in, I would say, read his word. Yeah. Open the Bible. Read his word. He's speaking. He has been speaking. He has spoken. He continues to speak. And yes, he can speak to our hearts. I mentioned on our last podcast, a time when I felt, no, I didn't hear him audibly, but I felt his words in my spirit, and they were crystal clear. So he continues to speak to us in those ways today, but his word is there. It's present, and it's alive, and it is true. God is the same, as Grandma wrote in the recipe book, yesterday, today, and forever. And his word is always going to be true. His promises, he is faithful to keep his promises. And there are so many misconceptions, y'all, among believers, among churched people who've grown up in church. There's so many misconceptions that are just based on rules made by man. I must say man, I'm saying mankind. Rules that are made by people that are not, is very much legalism, you know. And God, if you don't feel comfortable reading anything else, start with the New Testament. Read every word that came out of Jesus' mouth. Read how he responded to the Pharisees who tried to call him out and trick him and catch him in tight places, and see how he responded to them, and you will know that the Lord loves us.
That's right.
Jesus Christ loves us, and he wants what is best for us. And anyway, it's just brought some clarity just in the last 2 or 3 days. The scriptures that I've been reading in the Gospels have brought some clarity to things, to areas of my life that I was like, there it is. There that is. I knew I always felt in my heart this was not right. But now there's the scripture to
backs it up.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Anyway.
And I mean, I started listening to the word. A couple years ago, every time I get on the lawnmower,
yes,
I put my AirPods in and I go after mm-hmm. it, and I listen to chapters
mm-hmm.
and chapters, and sometimes I don't want to get off the lawnmower.
Right. You're like, is there any more grass I can mow?
Yeah.
Well, you load that sucker up and bring it to Patterson, and you can mow the grass.
Well, yeah. Uncle Lanny usually beats me to the other side of the road over there in front of your mama's right beside the highway. But sometimes I beat him over there.
Yeah.
But anyway, I've learned so much in the past 2 years about myself.
Mm-hmm.
Things that I knew that I shouldn't have done years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But he's put on my heart that I'm going to be okay. As long as I keep studying and participating in the Word and don't go back down those roads. But so I guess I've got another question for you. And
Hey, can I say something before you ask that question?
Sure.
You said listening to the Bible. I'm glad you said that because that was one thing I did not point out. I stressed it the other night here at Jackson's birthday celebration, but I didn't say it when you asked me the question. For anyone that may be listening that may be thinking, that's great, Julie, but I don't have time. I am to sit down and read God's Word in this season of my life. I know I should be. I want to be. It's on my heart. It's on my to-do list. But in the morning, I'm dressing children. I'm pouring bowls of cereal. I'm trying to get out the door to get to work on time. Everybody's lunchbox has got to get packed, got to wash clothes. It never stops. Believe me, I understand. But here is what I'm doing right now. I'm listening to God's Word. Because I have felt that way myself, even in this season of life that I'm in. And finally, when I was walking, exercising, you know, I felt the Lord say, hello.
You got plenty of time.
Now's the time. And so someone shared with me a great Bible app. There's lots of Bible apps. I happen to use one called Dwell, D-W-E-L-L. Because Dwell allows me to make like playlists for each day, each Bible recap episode. I make a playlist for the chapters during each episode so I can just hit play and I'm walking and I'm listening. I'm washing dishes and I'm listening. I'm preparing dinner and I'm listening. I'm driving to work and I'm listening. When my third graders leave me at 10:45 and I warm up my lunch and try to get it gobbled down and do lunch duty and all of this before kindergarten comes, I'm listening. Any moment that I am alone, any moment that I'm by myself, I'm not really by myself. It's me and the Lord, and I am listening to His Word. And I'm like you, Michael. I find myself being drawn to it, wanting. Like, if anybody that knows me knows that I absolutely love the Hallmark Channel.
Bless you.
Before I left home a while ago, Chip was giving me a hard time. He's like, you've been watching this show for 60 seconds, and you know exactly what has happened and what's going to happen, right? Like,
oh,
you
yeah.
know.
I
he's going to end up with her. He's going to get the girl. He's got a crazy uncle. Her fiance is back in at home, is really loaded, and this guy's broke. He's the fixer-upper
you,
of the
You've got
town.
To get Jackson to tell you how it goes. He can be a Hallmark movie writer.
Yeah. Okay. So, but I think the predictability of it and the fact that it always ends, you know, there's a happy ending, makes me like it so much. And while Chip is watching the Vikings, which I'm sure is historically accurate, people are getting brutally murdered, and I would just rather know that that's not going to happen on what I'm watching, and that's the Hallmark Channel. So what I'm saying in saying that is I have recently found myself even turning off the Hallmark Channel and turning on Scripture when I lay down at night. And praise God, that's something.
That's big. that would be very big for Dixie to do, you know, turn off the Hallmark Channel.
Now, I turn it back on, though. I do turn it back on.
Well,
don't
get me wrong, she don't watch it all the time, just when the new stuff comes on.
Yeah. Well, let me just tell you, October 21st is countdown to Christmas.
Can you erase that, Keith?
October 21st, 2022, countdown to Christmas on the Hallmark Channel. This is a commercial.
No, I cannot. I cannot support Hallmark anymore.
Okay. All right. You had a question.
No, I'm going to tell you why.
Go ahead.
Because just the other day, they had a different couple on there.
Oh. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And she was watching it, and I just couldn't.
Yeah.
It turned me.
Yeah.
Usually I can sit there and watch, you know, I couldn't do it.
No, I do turn that off. It upset me. Yeah, I do turn that off. Yeah.
Okay, anyway.
All right.
Aunt Donna's room.
Aunt Donna's room.
What do you recall about what was in that room in the old house?
I didn't realize that was a special room to more than just me. I can probably tell you.
No, Aunt Donna's room. That was historical right there.
All right, first of all, she had a fireplace in her room. Now, it was boarded up. Like, I don't ever remember there being a fire in that fireplace. But how cool is that to have a fireplace in your room? Okay.
You could hear the chimney sweepers in it.
Yes, you could. Yes, you could. She had this closet that it's probably really small, but it seems so huge because I could get in there and hide, you know? So I could hide in her closet. She had this cedar hope chest at the foot of her bed that smelled so good. So good to me. And inside that cedar hope chest, I know she had trophies. She had trophies in her room, but there were probably some more trophies in that hope chest because she was like, you know, a hero to all of us. That's She still is, Aunt Donna, if you're listening. We've always thought you were awesome. She had a Larry. Oh, I'm so sorry. She had a Larry Bird basketball poster hanging on one wall. I remember that. She had the biggest bed. Like, I always had, like, a twin bed, you know. She had this humongous bed. I thought it was huge. It was probably just, like, a queen-size bed, but it was huge. We would all pile up on her bed with our nasty selves.
Nasty feet.
Oh, Lord, have mercy.
David, do you remember anything else that was on that wall?
A Magnum P.I. was on it.
That was what I was looking for.
Tom Selleck.
Yeah. You think Mark could have a chance if he shaved that mustache?
No.
I think Tom Selleck was on a different wall, though. I think
it was still on the wall.
Larry Bird was on the wall with the chimney. Tom Selleck was on the wall at the foot of the bed.
But I remember the only time we got to go in her room was when she went off to college.
That's right.
Before that, we didn't go in her room.
Okay, there was also music and dancing.
That's right.
In there. She had, I don't know what kind of sound system. It probably was like a, I say sound, stereo system.
It was an RCA.
It was, yeah, but it was a stereo system. I think it was like cassette tapes maybe we listened to. She might have had records. I don't know. But I just remember boogieing down in Aunt Donna's room.
That's right.
Yeah. Yes. And how about the piano? Do y'all remember singing around the piano?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
With Aunt Donna playing?
And Aunt Lydia.
And Aunt Lydia playing?
And Edward.
And Edward. Yeah.
Really, at Christmas one year.
Yeah.
I mean, and he would always bring his guitar to
always.
Play.
Yes.
I don't know how Dumas Walker made it to Christmas, but I remember Edward singing Dumas Walker at Christmas. So, music, that was what was kind of... I guess if you want to call us anything, you could call us eclectic. We had a lot of different people come in. I mean, Aunt Lydia played like Jerry Lee Lewis.
Yes.
That's what I remember.
Uh-huh. She could play anything.
Yeah. You asked her, she played
Missy could sing like a bird.
Yes.
I was always jealous of all of y'all that could sing because I cannot sing.
And Jamie was playing the guitar for a while.
Jamie played guitar. I remember Stan playing saxophone and Chris playing the trumpet. I mean, I don't know. There's so much musical talent, and I had none of it. I couldn't even turn on the radio.
Oh, my goodness, David.
I did take piano lessons on that old piano in the hallway. That was the only one I had to practice on. And, you know, I can't play the piano today, but y'all, it would be me in the house. And at that time, our grandma and her sisters were quilting.
Mm-hmm.
And that's long after, I mean, they had turned Aunt Donna's room into a quilting room.
That's right.
And I can remember them. I was terrible on the piano. And y'all, that there's some of the keys on that piano that didn't work.
Right.
It stuck.
So you had a terrible piano.
And it wasn't tuned.
No tune.
No.
Right. But Grandma and her sisters would sing and hum. And it was funny to me because I'd be playing a song and they would think it was something else. That's how bad I was. They would start singing the words to their own song. And I would just keep playing. There was a few times where I actually found the song that they were singing and I could halfway carry the tune for it. But
if I remember,
horrible. Like, but I will never forget the way that they would sing and hum while I would play.
And they were just encouraging you.
Yeah.
In your efforts.
They should have been turning me out. Like, David, go to the yard.
They thought it was precious, David.
So I got one last question that I had. So based on the season that we're in and what we're doing here on this podcast, what direction do you see God pointing everyone in this season? I mean, can you see that we're going in the right direction, or should we be doing something a little different?
Okay. Michael, number one, the direction. Let me answer. You may be asking one question, and I may be answering a different question. You stop me if I'm not answering what you want, you know, what you had in mind. But first of all, you said, what direction should we be going? We should always be moving closer to the Lord. Mm-hmm. And anything that is spurring us on closer to a closer walk with Him is, we're headed in the right direction. So reading His Word, spending time with Him, lifting Him up in praise, you know, talking to Him in prayer. Yesterday we talked about how you said prayer is becoming in your life more of an open, constant conversation. That's the right direction, because just when we think we have things figured out, we realize, oh, nope, we really didn't. He has a plan. That was some of my daddy's favorite words. God's got a plan. God's got a plan. Sometimes He makes us privy to that plan. Sometimes He doesn't, you know, the details of the plan. But I believe that as long as we are walking in obedience to Him, seeking to be in a closer walk with Him, knowing Him more and more and more each day, knowing the true character of Him and being a reflection of Him in this world, I think we're headed in the right direction. Now, as far as the podcast, I can't really tell you, like if there's tweaks or things that need to be changed. Are we headed in the right direction? I can't tell you that, because God's not put me in a position of authority over that, and He's not given me any insight or any opinions to share with you. However, I remember learning at a very young age how hard it was to turn the steering wheel on a tractor with the tractor sitting still, and yet how much easier it was to turn the steering wheel on a tractor when that tractor was moving. Even if it was moving slowly, it was easy to turn. And the Lord brought that back to my remembrance one time when I was like, Lord, show me which way to go. Show me which way to go. And He said, get up and go. And I will steer you in the right direction. You are much easier to steer when you get off your seat and on your feet,
right,
and start going. So I want to just encourage you that you guys have done something phenomenal. I'm so thrilled with what you've done. And the Lord is going to continue steering and guiding and instructing All you have to do is listen.
Right. Well, I appreciate that. And I do want to, I'd like for you to join us every time we recorded, if possible.
I'll do my very best.
I'm not saying, because I do like having her perspective. You know, there might be, like sometimes we trigger stories out of David when we're talking about certain things and it just hits him and he shares it. I'm sure that there's times like that from the farm that you would have as well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what else we might could learn.
Yeah, I'm going to have to put in a footnote, though. What Julie said about the tractor, I want y'all to understand.
Grandpa just didn't want to fix the power
steering. We didn't have power steering on our tractors. Back in those days, everything she said makes perfect sense to somebody that's drove a tractor without power steering. Yeah. Today's tractors, you can turn them just sitting still because they all have power steering. But what you said was exactly right.
So I'm dating myself,
it's
right?
We've got to be moving to find out what direction we need to be in. We've got to be moving somewhere.
Well, it's funny that you brought that into perspective because that's probably one of the first stories I have about Liz Ann. We bought her a Barbie Jeep, probably way too early. She wanted to drive it, and she would not turn the steering wheel. And I can remember walking out to the mailbox one day, and she followed me. And she wanted to get back in the yard, but she would not. She would stop and then try to turn the steering wheel. And I'd had my belly full of it. And I got her out of the Jeep. I grabbed the Jeep, and I drug it back up to the house. And she was not a happy camper. Probably she wasn't over 16 months, 2 years old. And I kept saying, baby, you've got to turn the wheel while you're pushing the gas. She didn't get that concept until one day I had a stick and I reached in there and I pushed the gas pedal and told her to turn the wheel so she could see how easy it was to turn the wheel. It wasn't a month later, this youngin's figured out how to throw it in reverse, throw her arm over the seat, turn the wheel, slide up to a tree. I mean, but it is so reminding to us, a lot of times we don't want to get in motion, we just want the results.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's how God's been working with me and Michael and David and Julie to see we've got to stay in motion. We got to be moving towards him to be able to do what he's calling us to do. If we stop, we can't make corrections.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all going to have to make corrections. And that's where I encourage everybody. It starts somewhere.
Yeah. And, Michael, I want to add this one thing. So moving closer to God is like moving upward.
Mm-hmm.
But he also commands us to move outward.
Mm-hmm.
So taking him to the people. Go and make disciples. And I think that that's what this is all about. Is it's about glorifying him and lifting him up and making, showing the world how God's word applies to our everyday lives, making it relevant, making it applicable in this world today, showing how our family as a whole and then as individuals, we've had to rely on him. We've had to stand on his word.
Right.
We've had to hide his word in our heart, you know, and
it's time to quit hiding it.
Absolutely. Yeah. But, you know, scripture tells us to hide it in our hearts so that we might not sin against him. But yes, and now we're called to not hide it under a bushel. That's right.
That's right.
That's right. We're supposed to be a light to the world. And that's the whole purpose in this. So if there's changes, I'm sure, like with everything, if there's changes that need to be made, they'll come. They'll come.
Well, I want to encourage Julie. Yesterday, I didn't think about it. I brought it up in church this morning, but what she just said about hide, I don't know that hide is the best word. We see it in the scripture.
Yeah.
I tend to think more of deposit.
Yeah.
And when you made those remarks yesterday to us and expounded upon the scripture you were reading,
uh-huh.
A lot of times we get caught up in it, you know, what it says right there in the scripture.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't have the best representation of what the original
right.
text meant.
Right.
Because we do it in English.
Right.
And just like hide.
The meanings were lost. And
in translation.
Yes.
And I think that the only way we're going to get beyond that is having the conversation.
Right.
And encouraging one another to dig deeper.
Dig deeper and look beyond. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Hey.
You know, and I hear that, and I'm not saying that's wrong, all right? But I'm more of a simplistic mm-hmm. type feller, okay? The Bible says, lean not into your own understanding, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's good enough for me.
Yeah.
I don't need to dwell on things that I can't control.
You're right.
It says trust God.
Mm-hmm.
When I was riding on the back of the motorcycle with Uncle Terry going down the highway wide open, that might have been when I learned. David, you got no control.
Mm-hmm.
You better trust in God. Your That's Uncle right. Terry might kill you. We used to play yard darts. Do you remember that, Julie?
Yes, oh, yeah.
Do you remember what a yard dart was?
Yes, I do.
They're outlawed. You can't yeah. do that. We did that in your front yard. Your daddy said, hey, y'all, let's play yard darts.
Do you remember the jump board?
Jump board. We never quit playing.
Explain what a jump board is.
All it was a cutoff log.
Well.
Or a block or anything that was stable.
Yes.
And a 2x12.
Yes.
Board.
The stable, that was served as the fulcrum, as the.
Right.
Yeah. It was basically a seesaw that you would stand on.
Stand on.
And
jumped on the other end.
And someone jumped. And that someone, my daddy loved to be the someone
yeah.
that jumped.
Yeah.
And the weight, the force of mm-hmm. his weight would throw you. You were on the other end.
Into the pecan limbs.
Into the limbs of yeah. the oak trees or the pecan yeah. trees.
And we never did it when somebody didn't break an arm or a leg. And that's what I remember. It's like,
no.
It was great. Right up until we called ambulance.
Yeah. David, you're exaggerating. We never called ambulance.
Julie, I'm afraid we did break
bones. Is that how you broke your arm?
No, baseball hit that.
But. Okay. I don't ever remember there being any broken bones.
Dynamite.
Yeah.
Dynamite was a horse.
That's right.
Dynamite's chained to a sled. He called it a sled. Hey. It was a piece of plywood with two posts underneath it.
Yeah.
He would hook it up to dynamite.
With a transplanter suit.
Flying across the cow pasture.
Yep.
It was always the cow pasture, and I know because cow crap was flying up all over us while we're doing it. He's got a seat.
Uh-huh.
We don't have a no. seat. We don't have a handle. We don't have anything to hold on to.
We're
but
sitting in between his legs, holding on to his
we're
legs.
We're sitting on that board, which yeah. felt like a magic carpet because it hardly ever touched the ground other than to hit cow. I mean, we learn to trust God.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. What else are you going
to
do?
You learn to talk to
you're
him.
You're fixing to meet him. Hey. You probably should get right with God because you're going to meet him pretty quick. Yeah. That's what I remember about Uncle Terry.
It, so do it was you remember, wide open. Think for a minute, how many people were on the three-wheeler when we would go to the river?
However many was there.
I sat on the front rack.
Yeah.
Okay.
With three or four.
And then there was like Mama, Daddy, Wendy on the seat, and then probably three more people, or
at
two
least.
People, or two people, and a watermelon,
and the watermelon,
and the maybe yeah. I had to carry the watermelon
again. Outlawed,
yeah.
Oh, most definitely.
Didn't matter. We didn't pass any cops in between here and the river.
Anyway, yeah, he was a thrill seeker, no doubt. We did learn to trust Jesus.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm sure there's some others out there that could tell us the stories of the car. All I remember, the Duster.
It was a Charger.
It was a Charger.
I remember it sitting in the backyard. But
bright yellow.
Mm-hmm. I remember him nailing it coming out of the driveway, and I could not turn my head. It pinned me to the back of my seat, and I could not lean forward because it was moving. Like hey, I said, we had to get right with God.
I'll tell you this. He shared with me one time that, one of his best friends was Eugene Carter.
Mm-hmm.
And I think
You think that's why Craig's a preacher?
Maybe.
His daddy probably did the same thing to him.
I think that maybe Eugene was, I may have all this wrong, so I'm not going to bring everybody's names into it, but I don't remember if it was Eugene driving the car or if it was my daddy driving the car, but my mom lived on the other side of Offerman, and so my dad was over there, and I'll say Miss Diane Crump, who became Diane Carter, married Eugene, was in, grew up in Bristol or Marshawn, up there around Scuffletown, and so that's why I'm kind of thinking maybe Eugene was driving the car, but all I know is something happened to the car on Highway 32, somewhere between the what is now Country Boys, the caution light, at Bristol, somewhere between the caution light and the red light in Patterson, and the car went off, and they literally coasted. They were going so fast that they coasted all the way to the intersection, which is now the traffic light in Patterson. They made it to the traffic light in Patterson, coasting. I don't remember all the details. Somebody else will have to share that with you. But, yeah.
What was that, a 69 Charger? Do you remember the year?
I don't remember the year.
It had to be somewhere around in that because we were born 73, 74.
Right.
Well, a story I remember hearing about, was somebody borrowed it, and the sheriff was on the road, and they flew by him. Well, he knew whose car it was, and he showed up after the borrower left it at the farm because he couldn't catch him, and the borrower was already gone when Grandpa went to the door, and the sheriff's standing there, and Uncle Terry said, "It wasn't me." He said, "Well, I don't know who it was, but it was your car."
Mm.
They said it would pass anything but a gas station.
That's right.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
So, y'all got any more questions?
I just have one other thing because I know we got to wrap this up. Something that when we were talking mainly about Grandma yesterday, something that after I got home I thought about that we didn't mention. Grandma kept lists of people. She kept lists with our names on it. She kept her children's names listed out, her grandchildren. Then as years went by, her great-grandchildren. And I'm telling you, if you married into the family, you were blood,
That's right.
And if you were a stepchild, there was no such thing as stepchildren in Grandma's eyes. And you didn't even have to be married into the family. If you were a friend of the family, you were blood.
And if you weren't in the tobacco patch, how many people that were not blood relatives of ours
I could start naming them off now, but I won't. But
so many, and they were always family to her.
And neighbors were family. Friends of friends were family. It was like we were all one big family. And Marcia pointed out to me one time, she said, "Julie, you always make it a point to call people by name." Like if I'm texting someone, I always say their name first. I don't know why. I'd never noticed that about myself. But someone did tell me one time that everybody has a favorite word, and that word is their name.
Yeah.
Because, and then the Lord showed me Julie, you learned this from your grandma. You call people's names. You call their name in prayer, but you call it when you see them. You call it when you, when you see them out in public. Grandma wasn't, she wasn't alive when we were texting back into that kind of stuff. But if she had been, she would have called them by name, each mm-hmm. person by name, because saying someone's name says, I see you. I notice you. I love you. I'm mm-hmm. concerned about you. I care about you. You're valuable. And y'all, that was one way that our grandma reflected the love of Jesus Christ. One thing that grandma taught me about God is, yes, he is huge. He is the Lord of the universe. He created everything that we can see and even the things we cannot see. But he is also concerned about the intricacies of our everyday lives. He tells us to cast all of our cares on him because he cares for us.
Right.
He cares yeah. about all the little things that burden us every day. And he wants us to have a personal relationship with him. He wants us to walk with him and talk with him every day throughout the day. And that's what I want people to know about Jesus Christ.
All right. So you got anything else, David?
Julie, I'm going to ask you a question. Was it you that asked Grandma one time why she whistles and why she hums?
I don't know. I don't remember asking that.
I don't.
I
remember it was one of our cousins.
Yeah.
They asked because Grandma, I don't know if y'all remember this.
Yeah, she
whistled. We would be sitting there and she'd hum a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like that. It wasn't a real good crystal clear whistle. Nope. My daddy could whistle.
Yeah, that's right.
It was just a...
Man, could your daddy whistle.
Yeah. All right, but anyway.
And you know, let's go back to Buddy Bowen, our cousin, our
yes.
uncle cousin,
yes.
Buddy. You know how I knew it was him?
He
I could
whistling.
Hear him whistling from the
him.
Next dial over. I knew, yes. And I knew it was him.
Yeah. I'm glad I wasn't there. I probably would have fell yeah. over in a puddle.
Because it does sound like your daddy, and that's the thing. All right. One of our cousins asked Grandma one time,
why do you whistle?
Why do you whistle like that? And her answer was somewhere along the lines of, sometimes we say too much here on earth. Sometimes we give our opinions when we probably shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
And she says sometimes, when she's hearing things that she might think she should comment about, but probably not comment on, that's when Grandma would start whistling. Now go back. Now go back and think about all of those times that you heard her doing that and say that to yourself.
Wow.
Right?
I never knew that.
She was holding back on something. Quite often.
That's the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
when you want to say something, but your spirit's telling, that's the Holy Spirit telling you.
Yes.
You stay out of it. How in life today in my life, I know I'd be better off if I keep my mouth shut, right?
All of us.
Sometimes.
I'm not going to speak for all of us. I'm saying for me.
I can guarantee you, me.
So next time you hear me whistling, you'll say, David's got an idea, but he's just going to keep it to himself.
Yeah.
Something going on over there in that brain.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
But she did. She was humming, and she'd be whistling.
That's life-changing right there.
Yeah.
Wow. And I can say that because I just, like, if you were there and you recalled how much time she spent, it's like the soundtrack of our lives. And that was, and you know what, and Grandma said an awful lot by not saying
right.
a lot.
Exactly.
She said an awful lot.
Exactly.
She,
it was also a part of that was when she was having to take care of like her mother mm-hmm. later in life,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, as people get to that point, their brain kind of mm-hmm. breaks down and they start saying things that yeah. is not them.
Mm-hmm.
she was afraid that she would do that. She did not want to do that. Mm-hmm. So that was another. I mean, it would occupy her mind to do that.
Yeah, it takes an awful lot of trust to not say the things that pop into our brains sometimes, because we think we can control situations when we're not in control. And God is like, excuse me, I've got this. If you'll just keep your mouth shut.
And I'm learning a lot of that here in these years. Voicing my opinion, he made me he made me strong in my voice.
Yeah.
And I had to learn how to reel it in a little bit.
Yes.
And I mean, there's people that took things that I've said out of context than what I was meaning them.
Right.
And but it was still my words coming out.
Right.
I mean, how do you control that? But any other way, I was led to write or say whatever I said from somewhere. And those are the times that Grandma would have been whistling.
I think it's important that, like we talked about yesterday, we look at people's hearts and we try to remember, think about where this is coming from. Like I've had to say to my girls many, 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 many times, think about where this is coming from. This is coming from a place of love. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, yes, that's going to be a challenge. You challenge me, David. I don't know if it'll be whistling, but it'll be something. It might be humming. It might be something else that,
I catch myself humming.
Yeah.
I hum a lot, especially at work.
And that's what it sounds like.
Yep.
Better stop right there.
Maybe the people to work with me, they'll never listen to this till after I retire or something.
It'd be all right.
It'll be a lot more.
What are they going to do, fire you?
I think so. It might.
Well, guys, I've enjoyed this today. I hope that something that we said is a blessing and points someone to Jesus. And if somebody's out there that doesn't know Jesus yet, and maybe you're on the fence, maybe you're like, I'm not sure if this is for me, let me encourage you. Jesus loves you, and he has a plan for your life, and there's tremendous blessing, not only in the hereafter, as in glory, as our grandma would say, but even in this life, of knowing that you are more than conquerors and you are victorious over the troubles and the struggles in life, just knowing that you have him in your heart and he is walking with you daily, just having that constant communing with him. Anything else?
That's it. We'll close in prayer.
All right.
Dear Lord, we just thank you for bringing us together to glorify, to exemplify you in any way that we can. Pray that as we speak, that it would be truth to those listening, that the Holy Spirit would just reach in and go ahead of us. Pray that something that we've said today would reach just one person. And that's what we're here for, is to reach out so that people can experience your love. And we just pray that you would protect, lift up, and bless all those listening with health, healing, and safety. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.